Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see your faces again. I was here 2 weeks ago. And Tim texted me this week and said, look forward to seeing you Sunday. I was like, oh, that's come quickly. But it is great to be here one more time. The singing, the song selection today really messed me up. I mean, I had to hold back the tears. You know, thinking about how deep God's love is for us. You know, sometimes we hear a message over and over and over, and we get dull of hearing the message. But it's good when we are reminded about the scars in Jesus' body, the wound in his side and in his hands, and let's not forget his feet and the countless scars on his back, and why the wounds. Someone asked when Jesus rose bodily from the grave, why was there still wounds in his hands? And why was the wound in his side still there? You could probably think of a lot of reasons why the wounds were still in his body. But with me, my mind reminded me of not only, as the song said, the price he had to pay for my ransom, but it also reminds me how deep his love is for me. That he would go to such great lengths so that I might have my sins forgiven and that you might have your sins forgiven. And I think about that, it makes me want to cry. That he would care that much about me, a sinner. And when I finish being selfish, I think about how he did the same thing for you. How he went to the cross intentionally. See, we have scars on our bodies. I recently got a scar on my hand. I ignorantly left a box cutter open and went to go throw something in the trash can, and I got this ugly scar on my hand. I hate this scar. You know, I wish it would go away. I wish I would have been more mindful of what I was doing. And I had this scar to remind me of, you know, my negligence and my ignorance. But Jesus, he got his scars intentionally. He intended to be nailed to that cross. He knew exactly what he was doing. And those scars are a constant reminder to us how much he loves us. And it's a constant reminder to Jesus how much he loves us, what he paid for our ability to be reconciled to the Father. That song is part and parcel why I'm here today. I want to talk to you about God wanting a real intimate relationship with you and with me, okay, and how that's achieved. And so I want to, I don't know where to start. We have a plethora of scriptures to read from. I guess I'll start with Mark chapter 7. I'll let that be our launching pad. Mark chapter 7. I will read Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. And then we will pray. Mark that. Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, that is Jesus, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" We're talking about God wanting true intimacy. True intimacy. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift of God,' then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do." When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing," say nothing, say nothing. I want y'all to get this. "There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears, let him hear." When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." That's a long list. "And all these evil things come from within and defile a man." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us your word, Lord God, allowing your word to be transmitted down the ages, Lord God, preserved for us to read God-breathed words that teach us your ways, Lord God, that teach us what you're after. And Lord God, I pray that we will be given by you in your Holy Spirit ears to hear today, Lord God, what you are teaching about true intimacy and true worship. Lord God, I pray that your word will have authority over our lives, and God, that we will apply them to our living. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Today, we could do a lot with this passage, okay? But what I want to do with this passage is to remind us that God desires true intimacy. True intimacy. He is not at the least concerned about superficial relationships. He wants true, deep relationship from the heart. And he's giving you that from his end. But he's reminding us here that he requires, or he wants that from us. Okay? what's happening here? The Pharisees hear about Jesus. They hear about his fame. He's healing the sick. They're hearing crazy stories about him feeding over about 20,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Like, what? You know, and people are asking this very important question: is he the Messiah? Who is this man? And so the Pharisees, they leave Jerusalem and they travel a long ways to Capernaum. They travel about 100 miles. Okay? And they didn't have planes or helicopters, you know, they had horses and chariots, but these people had to travel a great distance. But they weren't interested in hearing Jesus preach. What they were really interested in was finding fault with Jesus. And as soon as they came on the scene, they leaped on a fault of his disciples. They were eating bread with unwashed hands. And what does that mean? They were concerned about them getting germs into their bodies? No. There was a tradition that if you go to the marketplace, you may rub against something or you must touch something that may have defiled you. Okay, you may have touched a Gentile, which made you defiled. You may have touched a cup that may have had some kind of substance on it that may have defiled you. And you need to do a religious thing. You need to wash your hands in a special way, in a religious way, which made you, when you eat food, not sin. To not sin. To them, eating food and ingesting it into your body with unwashed hands was as bad as, take your pick, covetousness, dishonoring your mother and father. They made this tradition equal to authority to God's word. And so they found fault with the disciples. This was religious activity was so important that it was sin that they had the gall to go to Jesus and say, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Jesus was like, you said right, the tradition of the elders, because it is not the word of God. See, they treated the tradition of the elders equal to the word of God. Washing the hands. And Jesus says to them, don't you know anything? That you cannot be defiled by eating food with unwashing hands, because it goes into the stomach and it comes out of the body. He says, but I'm going to show you something that really defiles a man. And it's what comes out of the man. What comes out from his heart. That defiles a man. See, ladies and gentlemen, we have to get beyond the human philosophy and the human traditions, even to this day, but it's been around for thousands of years. And that is that we are the summation of our environment. That our environment makes us who we are. That our environment can make us have success, or our environment can make us have to fail. Our environment has all this power upon us. But what Jesus is reminding us is that it's not so much what's going on without a man that defiles him. It's not what's going on around you as much as what's going on inside of you. Yes, the world has a lot of corrupt things in it, in the media, the music. Okay, we just saw another rapper, a young rapper, who Takeoff, who just got killed, you know, for some stupid gambling game, you know. And he's 20 to, what, 5 years old, whatever, and he's just killed for no reason. The culture, this rap culture, this gang culture, is so violent that rappers are dying, like, once a month, it seems like. People are just dying. But it's not the culture as much as it is what's going on in the heart. Out of the heart flows evil proceedings. See, a lot of people say, man, I just wish that we could get rid of all the evil in the world. Well, in order to get rid of all the evil in the world, we have to get rid of you. Because evil comes out of what? The heart. And it's the very place where God is seeking to have intimacy with us. It's at that level, the heart level. God wants us to love Him and to know Him from the heart. So He wants to get down inside of a man and really cleanse us up. The Pharisees were concerned about the washing of hands. They were not concerned about the washing of their hearts. See, false religion always works from the outside in. But God, He works from the inside out. The only way you can be clean is if you allow God, allow the Holy Spirit, allow Jesus to come into your heart and deal with what's going on there. See, it's not enough to come to church on Sunday mornings or whenever you come to church. That doesn't make you right with God. That doesn't make your relationship. It's a good thing to come to church. But if you leave it there, your worship of God and your service to God is futile, is vain, just like these guys. They had this outside, they had this mentality of, let's clean the outside of the cup and the cup will be clean. You know? And when my kids clean the outside of the cup and I look inside the inside of the cup and it's dirty, guess what? I don't use it. You know? And I tell them, hey, what's going on here? We taught you how to wash dishes. What's going on? You know? You need to take your time and wash the inside of the cup. Because that's what the substance is. That's what matters is. What matters to God is what's on the inside. What's going on in the inside. What is your attitude like? What are your longings? You know, that's what God is really about. Isaiah chapter 1. You can turn there if you will. I'm going to read real quickly. Isaiah, a prophet of God, says in chapter 1, verse 10, says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. God is obviously mad at the children of Israel. He's calling them Sodom, okay? And we know what happened to Sodom. God sent fire, brimstone down to consume the city of Sodom and its inhabitants. So He's calling His own people Sodom. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. What are you talking about, God? You told Moses, and Moses told us, that you wanted sheep to be offered. You wanted the goats. You wanted the oxen. You wanted the turtle doves and the grain offering and the drink offering and the salt offering. You came up with all of this. And we're giving you exactly what you wanted from us. And God has said, no. No. This is where they messed up. Verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? To trample my courts. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, your assemblies, the new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. They were doing all the religious activity, but they were also sinning in their hearts. And God knew it. God knew what was going on.
And God says, you come with your religious activity, but in your heart, you're sinning. You're treating each other wrongly. You're not paying your workers correctly. You are lying to one another. You're stealing from one another. You're not honoring your mother and father. And you're doing all this religious activity thinking that you're worshiping me. God says, I'm sick of it. I hate your burnt offerings. I hate your religious activities. Why? Because the religious activities, if you think about it, was designed to penetrate the heart. Why the burnt offering? Why this innocent animal blood being spilled? We're supposed to preach something to us that this is how much God hates sin in our lives. Right? And God's going to judge sin by the slaughtering of this animal. And instead of slaughtering you, he's pouring his wrath out on this animal, and he's accepting you in his stead. And this innocent being who did not sin, but you sinned, you actually laid your hands upon this animal so that there would be a transference of your sin to this animal. And this animal takes on your sin, and this is what happens to the animal. Slaughtered, blood spilled instead of you, and it's burnt. And God receives this offering, and this is supposed to do something to your heart. It's supposed to, like, man, I hate the sin in my heart because God is teaching me how He feels about my sin. He doesn't like my envying. He doesn't like my backbiting. He doesn't like me murmuring, complaining. He doesn't like me stealing. He doesn't like all this lust of the eyes, of the flesh, and this haughtiness, this pride. He hates this. It's an abomination. And so this offering that they were doing was supposed to teach them about the ugliness going on inside their heart, that God wanted to cleanse it up. He wanted to remove it. He wanted us to walk righteously before Him. But the people didn't look to their heart. And they just looked to this system of sacrificing. And it became something what we called rote. They didn't even think about it. They just, okay, you know what? I'm going to bring this animal and I'm going to, you know, it's costing me, they're going to murmur or complain over it. It's going to cost me a lot of money to bring this animal. I could sell this animal in the marketplace. And they would try to find out reasons to use an ugly animal, a blemished animal, an imperfect animal. But you know what? Their conscience got the best of them. They knew better. So they still brought the good animal before the priest. And they did their ritual. They came on the new moons to the assemblies, and every Sabbath they came. And God got weary of it. God says, nothing's changed about you. Nothing's changed. You're just religious. Because why? God loves us so much. He wants true intimacy with us. And if we regard iniquity in our hearts, God cannot be as near to us as He wants to be. Because we're harboring sin in our hearts. I've tried to live that way before. It doesn't work. Because God has created in me and in you a conscience, right? And the Holy Spirit speaks to our conscience. And when you try to just pray, but you're praying meaningless prayers, or you're going to church, but your heart is not in it, after a while, the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you. He's going to question your love for God and your intimacy with God. Because God desires a true intimacy. David knew this. And David, when he sinned against God, he wrote a poem. He wrote a psalm. In Psalm 51, this very idea of religious worship versus a heart worship, he wrote about this in Psalm 51. If you ever get a chance, you might want to really study Psalm 51. It's a way that, it's a psalm that teaches us true repentance. I'm only going to look at verse I'm going to start at verse 7, and I'm going to skip around. David is acknowledging his sin and his transgression, and he says, "Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." That's that concept that says, if you confess your sin to God, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. God is able and willing to do that. If we sin against Him, He is able to cleanse us, because sin makes us unclean, and God is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so he prays this prayer: "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." Oh, sorry, I went back to verse 6. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." I'm going to jump down to verse 10. "Create in me," there we go, "a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." He gives and says, "God, I want you to restore the joy of my salvation." Verse 15, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you," here we go, "do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart." Here's the promise: "These, O God, you will not despise." When we are broken because of the wrong that we have done, if we have contrition of heart, like down here in our heart, like, "God, I want to be near you. I want to show you, Lord God, that I am in love with you. And this sin is breaking my heart. Nobody else knows about it but you and me. But it's breaking my heart." See, a lot of times when people cry, it's because they've been caught by someone else, and they're afraid of the punishment or the shame that comes along with it. But when you are trying to worship God from an intimate position, from a position of love, there's a deepness that happens in your relationship. You're not concerned as much from the outside as you are what's going down on the inside. What's going on in your mind, in your will, in your soul, in your heart? And David understood this. And David says, "I'm not bringing to you a sacrifice, even if that's the law. I'm not bringing to you a burnt offering. I know that's in the law." He says, "I'm bringing to you a broken heart. I'm brokenhearted by what I did. I tried to hide it for almost 9 months, what I did with a married woman and with her husband, Uriah. I tried to hide it. I tried to stiffen my conscience and said that what's done is done. And I tried to hide it from people, but I couldn't hide it from you." Because God is wanting intimate relationship. And he loved David so much that he sent a prophet to confront David. And he gave David a parable about this man who had many sheep and this one man who had one sheep. And the man who had many sheep had a friend to come over. Instead of using his many sheep, he went and took this one sheep from this man. He had no more than one, and he loved that sheep. He took that sheep, and David found out about it through the prophet Nathan, and he said, "Kill that man. That man was wrong for doing that." And Nathan said, "David, you're that man. You had all these wives. This man had one wife who he loved, and you took her. You deserve to die, David. God loves you, and God is going to forgive you." And David wrote this song. He says, "My sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned." He didn't come to God with some outward religion. He didn't come to God saying, "Lord God, look at my how often I go to church or how much money I put in the offering plate. Look how I help my neighbors." He didn't come. He says, "Lord, I bring my heart to you. I bring my heart to you. It is broken over what I've done. I'm sorry. And I'm hurting. My sin is always before my face. You are a holy God, and I am not holy." And so he brought this broken heart to God, broken over his sin. And what does God do with it? He does not despise it. He receives his heart, his broken heart. He receives David back. But what does God do with the children of Israel with their sacrifices? He rejects the religion. He rejects the sacrifices. Because those religious activities did nothing for their heart. It did nothing for the inside of them. Are y'all getting this? Is this passing? Is this getting through to you? What I'm trying to get to is, like, I don't want you to be like so many Christians. And I was your age one time. And I think one reason why God brings me here is because I really walked with God when I was a teenager. And I struggled through these things. And I don't want you to walk according to the tradition of men. I don't want you to walk according to the traditions of councils or of churches or denominations. I want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him from the heart, where it matters to you what he thinks. It matters to you whether or not you please him. I want you to have a true personal relationship and not have a religion. Okay? Not to be proud that you're a Protestant and not Catholic. Not proud that, you know, you go to CCMC and you don't go to some other false church. I mean, thank God for CCMC. I see some great things here. But God is still after your personal relationship with him. Because he desires that. He desires that intimacy with you. I'm going to end. I have many scriptures, but I want to end with this. Proverbs 4:23. God says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." That means with all the effort you can. Keep your passions towards God. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. If you're having issues in your life, look to your heart. Find out what's going on in your heart. You know, if you're just yelling at everybody, nobody can make you happy, you know, you're always screaming at people, you need to get along and find out what's going on the inside of me. You know, nobody can make me happy. You know, I'm always angry. You know, you need to stop. You know, when you're used to, you know, being patient with people, but now you're snapping at people, it doesn't take much to light your fuse. Like, now, what's going on with me? And sometimes you don't see what's going on. You need to ask God. Say, "God, show me my heart. Show me what's going on inside of me. Cleanse me up." Sometimes I get that way. Sometimes I get really, really critical, you know? And I'm like, I need to slow down. I need to get with God. I need to be patient with people. Sometimes we're not guarding our heart. Something's at work. It's really aggravating us, and we're irritable, and we're taking it out on the wrong people. Guard your heart. Guard what's going on inside. The Bible, it's not the Bible, but there's an adage that my mom used to tell me. It's like, hurt people. Like, if someone hurts you, you know, sometimes you want to hurt someone else, right? You want to get back, you know? If you said something to me and it hurts my feelings, you know what? I want to share that hurt with you. You know, I want you to hurt too, right? And God says, overcome evil
with good. So we need to check in and say, you know what? What's going on the inside? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. God is always looking to your heart. He's always looking to your heart. Because why? Jesus says, when you put your faith and trust in Him, Jesus says, I will come into you, and so will my Father. He says, Philip says, Jesus, how will you reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus says, if you believe in me, I'm going to come into you, and my Father is going to come into you, and we will make our abode there. God wants to come into that heart of yours, and He wants to be intimate there. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God dwell richly in your heart. Okay? God wants you to erect the throne of God in your heart. When you dare, you worship Him. 1 Samuel 16:7. Samuel is going to pick out a king, and he sees this beautiful man, this handsome dude. He's tall, stands head and shoulders above everybody else. Probably smart. Samuel says, truly this is the one God has chosen. Truly this is God's anointed. And God says to Samuel, Samuel, don't choose him. I have looked at him and I have rejected him. God, look where? He says, do not look at his appearance and do not choose like man chooses. He says this, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And God looked at this good-looking dude, and he was like, man, inwardly, I can't choose him to be my king. He's not going to keep my commandments. He's not going to do everything that I say. And so God chose this little, ruddy, red-headed kid who stunk. You know why he stunk? He stunk because he was with the sheep, right? And I'm telling you, I mean, I've smelled cow stink and all kinds of animal stink, but sheep stink is bad, okay? I mean, it's really bad. I was a little kid in Germany, and my best friend, his German friend, his name was Sweeney, and he had sheep in his backyard. I'll tell you one thing, that grass was green. It was very green. But they stink. And where was David? He wasn't in the house with Samuel. Because Samuel had to ask Jesse, do you have any other son? He says, yeah, he's out in the field. He said, bring him here. And they brought him there. He didn't go wash. He came in. Outwardly, this other brother looked beautiful. David stunk. But that was God's man. That was God's man. God looked at his heart. And God is looking for true worshipers. He's looking for people who love him from the heart. And we can do it. We can do it. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. The Holy Spirit works in us both to will and to do the things that please the Lord. The Bible tells us that we walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will please God because of the Holy Spirit. So, call to you, this is my call, it's an upward call, is for you to look inwardly to your heart and say, what's going on in my heart? You know, am I loving God from my heart? Am I loving Him with all my mind, with all my strength? You know, I'm not looking to outward religious activity. And the good works that I do is because of the true faith and the true love that flows from the inside. God cleansed me up on the inside. And now I want to spend time with the brethren. I want to honor my father and my mother. I want to work with my hands and to give. God is doing these things. I give to people not because
I'm such a generous person because I know that I'm not. Before God got a hold of my heart, I was very stingy, right? My wife would ask me for food. I'm like, what? Get your own, right? For real, I would get some food, and my wife's like, I want some of that. And she has her own food, but my wife wants to get food off of my plate. I'm like, hold up, I bought this for me. And I had a stingy attitude, very stingy. When you get married, you find a lot of faults going on inside of you. Okay, so I find a lot of faults going inside of me. And I was like, man, but I'm learning to share, right? I'm learning that it's good to share. But I don't want to do it because, oh, she's my wife or I have to. I want to do it because, you know, I love her, you know, and I want to share what I find pleasurable with her. And she doesn't mind sharing. I don't get it. She can have one cookie. She'll break it and share it. I'm like, what? That's not enough for, you know. Maybe I'm greedy. I don't know. But yeah, there's something that, this is something that we can grow in. You know, our love for God can grow. Okay, so wherever you are now, and it's good to do this in your youth. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so good. When you learn to do this in your youth, beautiful things happen. Okay? Beautiful things happen. I mean, you affect so many people. People watch you. You know, you affect so many people's lives. They're going to want to know who this Jesus is that you serve. You become such salt and light in your world, in your community. And God can use you because it's authentic, this worship. I'll tell you one thing. This world hates God. We know that. But the hypocritical church is not helping matters. Okay? People say they love God and then they go out and do exactly what the world is doing. And the world sees it. God said it in a parable. He said the world will see it and they're going to trample over you. They're going to just trample over you. It's like salt on the wayside. It's good for nothing, okay? But when we have that true intimacy, and it's not about religion, it's about a true heart worship to God, and you become salt and light. People see that. People feel that. There's an anointing on your life, okay? There's a power and there's a grace on your life that when you speak words, you're just speaking out of your heart. But man, it is doing some wondrous things in other people's lives. They can sense it and they can feel Jesus. Because he's there. He's there. And he's emanating out of your life, young people. Okay, so be the salt and the light. And that comes from being true worshipers of God. Not religious, but relationship. Jesus made this prayer. He said, Lord, this is salvation. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. God wants you to know him. Jesus wants you to know him. He wants you to really have intimacy. Okay? He knows you intimately. He knows your downfitting and your uprising. He knows your thoughts from afar off. He wants you to know him as well. Okay? Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness towards us, for your deep love that you have, Lord God, and that you show on a continual basis, Lord God. Father, your mercies today are new, and they're plentiful for us to just take hold of. Lord God, you give us what we need. You provide it for all our needs today, Lord God. You've given us our bread, our daily bread. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have on the cross made a way for us to come back to the Father and to be reconciled. And God, this is love, that you stretched your arms out wide and you died on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon him should not perish but have enduring life. Lord, I thank you for your love that you displayed. Now, Lord God, because you first loved us, may we return love back to you, true love, and not superficial love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.